when the 17th century philosopher René Descartes began his defence for God with the words, "I think, therefore I am," he kicked off a bit of a trend, making the starting point in answering life's big questions with "I." Everything in the universe defined in relation to me. So individualism is now one of the key features of our Western culture. And technology has only accelerated this trend. The music I listen to on Spotify is now personalised for my tastes. Bruce, enjoy this playlist of indie folk songs to ease your anxieties. It actually says that on the screen. And help you get lost in the woods of airy vocals and gently swaying acoustic guitars. Everything is now personalised for me. Entertainment, communication, books, everything. The moment I open Windows 10 on my laptop, I see a picture of me, taken, of course, from my best side, with a gorgeous new landscape behind it, with the question, "Like what you see," and sending me more images just like this one if I click, "I like it. I like it." The previous generations gathered to watch TV, didn't we? The generation before that gathered to listen to the radio. A generation before that sang around the piano. Before that, they would dance together. If you've ever watched Pride and Prejudice, that's what people did. But now there's a new phenomenon. At proms and formals, where kids no longer dance or talk to each other, but they sit in dark corners staring at their phones. At St. Francis High School in California, smartphones only allowed at proms and formals to take photos. We explained to the students that socialising is a big deal. We want you to be present to each other. I love this new personalised technology. The danger is, though, that we approach the Christian life with the same mindset. Church the way that I like it. Why drag myself to church when I can listen to my favourite preachers and a more impressive preacher's podcasts lying in bed on a Sunday morning? When I can get better music and a grander worship experience watching Hillsong TV? Can't I just have Jesus without church? Does Christianity have to come with Christians? Can't I follow Jesus on my own? But throughout the entire Bible, from beginning to end, God's plan is to gather a people for himself. For people to not just relate to him individually, but together. In Genesis 12, God promising Abraham he would be a father of a great nation, even changing Abram's name from father to Abraham, father of many nations. And John's vision of heaven in Revelation 7 at the very other end of the Bible, of a multitude that no one could count, worshipping God together. No iPhones to be seen. God's plan from the very beginning is to gather people into relationship with himself and each other as they come to Christ. So the first unmissable truth is that you can't come to Christ without coming to his people. Galatians chapter 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When Renee attended her first Christian convention, she was suddenly worried she'd joined a cult with those words, "We are all one in Christ," emblazoned above the stage. But we're not a cult, separating ourselves from society. But we're called to courageously engage with the world, to be a blessing to the world, as we love the people around us in humility, not thinking we're better. And being united with Christ, baptized and clothed in him, given Jesus' perfect record and being changed to be more like him, also means being united to everyone else who is united with Christ, with Christians all around the globe. But it's in the local church where this oneness is lived and worked out. We now belong to each other. Each part belonging to the whole. Like how the individual parts join and are joined together to form the human body. Romans chapter 12. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body and each member belongs to all the others. So it's impossible to be in Christ and not belong to other people. You can't be in Christ and reject his church. We have obligations and responsibilities to each other. It's not a service we attend, but a body that we belong to. What we see in the early church in Acts chapter 2, as the church suddenly grew from 120 people to 3,000 believers in a single day, as they responded to Peter's Holy Spirit-empowered preaching, we read that these new Christians were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They were devoted to each other. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And not just on Sundays, but every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and ate together in each other's homes with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. I've just been reading an excellent book called Everyday Church. I'll try and get some copies for the camp, which sees the same commitment to Christian community as our greatest witness to society. Churches characterized by love, compassion, forgiveness, generosity, service and grace, where people are open-handed. Sure, there will be tensions, but as we love each other deeply, love covers a multitude of sins, including people in doing life together, and then inviting the people around us who don't know Jesus to experience life with us. It was fantastic seeing how many people were loving Katrina and Nathan yesterday and leading up to the wedding. I can't read my own handwriting of what I wrote here, and there were so many people to thank. It was just astonishing. Glynis organising the kitchen tea with Rochelle and Annette. Thank you so much. For Glynis and Nikki doing all the flowers at 8:30 yesterday morning. Brenda. Oh, did I say Glynis? Sorry, I'm sorry. That's just me. That's my brain. Brenda, I went to the reception last night, so it's been a long time. Trying to get Ellie settled after a big day. But it's just been fantastic. Carol, David, Katrina's brother, has been living at your place and knew your son-in-law. It turned out they'd done some work together, so it's astonishing the connections. And Carol's been—you've been meeting with the family and driving them around. Dan was doing technology yesterday. I'm going to forget people. Grace was singing. Carol helping me organise music. There were so many people. So forgive me if I and everyone and people from the church turning up here, turning up to encourage the family. The impact that had on that small community of people and what they were saying last night about the difference that the church actually made to them. Even turning in their minds, changing their thinking about what church is, was terrific. If a diverse group of Christians live for Christ as a community of love and demonstrable mutual affection, then society will find it harder to dismiss us. That was a quote from one person. But also recognising that we are the church not just on Sundays, but during the week as we serve and work in so many schools and occupations and locations to support each other as we live lives of integrity, praying not only for church, for kids' teachers as we serve, but as we serve Jesus during the week as lawyers and teachers and graphic designers and cleaners and mothers and fathers and students throughout the week. I love how Paul describes the quality of our serving each other as the body of Christ. He gives some great adjectives. All of us having different gifts. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. But if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully, not grumbling. I have a tendency to grumble. Do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Be zealous in all these ways that we serve each other. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's who we're serving. Don't hold back. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be misers like, remember, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, who in Acts chapter 5 held back. They held back part of what they promised to God for themselves, and then they lost everything. It's a terrible story. For me, it means organizing my time to write early in the morning, getting up at 5 o'clock, so I have more time for people and my own family during the day. It's not an easy task for a night owl, but something I keep working at so I can be more effective at loving other people. I have to change my lifestyle. But now the second unmissable truth is that you can't serve Christ without serving his people. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus teaches, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus isn't talking about serving people in general, but about his brothers and sisters, his people. So when you serve the church, you serve Jesus. When you fail to serve the church, you fail to serve Jesus. How we treat his people is how we treat him. So neglecting the church is neglecting Jesus. So doing church on my own without other Christians isn't looking so good. There are unavoidable reasons why some of us can't come to church for a while, for health, for different reasons. I've known people who were in danger of anaphylactic shock from allergies to the perfume people wore to church on Sundays, which is why I haven't purchased aftershave for years. Since that church went fragrance-free, so did I. I'm sorry about that. Sure, at times I could smell better. But those times when we're away from each other should be exceptions. Because we can't love the church and love Jesus if we're not around God's people enough to love them. Church on a Sunday is our opportunity to love each other and worship God corporately. Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Even 2,000 years ago, people were trying to ditch church. But when we don't meet regularly as a church, we miss out on the key way God encourages us in our faith. We have been designed to need other Christians, to help us to keep going, to encourage them to do likewise as we see the day approaching. Corporate worship is how God has designed his people to flourish. Outside the local church, without the necessary encouragement, we gradually drift away. But also increasingly meeting with each other during the week. To break away from our individualistic culture and involve each other as Christians in the messiness of our everyday lives. Living in community and modelling this other person-centred community to the world. It's so encouraging when I hear people say, "Oh yeah, we hung out on Friday night for someone's birthday and we did such and such and we were doing this." And when people are meeting together and hanging out together as the church, not just on a Sunday but throughout the week, loving each other, that is Christ working in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul draws out some very simple but very important implications. So you've got your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 1, these are things that Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed about the gifts given to each one of us by the Holy Spirit. The individual people who make up the church in Corinth, they used to be influenced by the surrounding culture and idol worship that led them astray from serving the living God. On Tuesday at Eagle Junction School, I asked a year 6 student one thing that he knew about Jesus. What's one thing you know about Jesus? I often get the kids up the front, ask them about themselves. What's one problem in the world that you worry about? What do you think the solution is? Just getting into their worldview. How much pocket money did you get this week? That was a great question to ask. The going rate these days seems to be $5 a week on a Friday. That's most parents. Some kids get 15, but that's a rarity. Some kids get 2. I told them to speak to their parents about that. They're being underpaid at that point. Well, one kid, this kid, and I said, one thing you know about Jesus, to my complete astonishment, he said, Jesus is Lord. And accepting that Jesus is Lord is the first gift of the Spirit. In verse 3 of chapter 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord, no one can believe in Christ without the Spirit. But the Spirit also gives us different gifts to engage in different kinds of service as we serve the same Lord. From verse 9, Paul lists various gifts, all given not to make ourselves look good, as if the church was a stage to showcase our individual talents. But true service means cheerfully meeting someone else's needs. It's not about me. It's how can I genuinely meet someone else's needs? Verse 7, using these gifts of the Spirit for the common good. And Paul gives a whole list of gifts. Speaking words of wisdom, knowledge, deep faith in Christ, gifts of healing, praying and caring for others, speaking in tongues, which Paul goes on to say in chapter 14, must be interpreted by someone else for the building up of the church, not for drawing attention to yourself. From verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, imagine that, if we were all eyeballs, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We all need each other. For the church to function and thrive, we all need to be playing our part. Verse 18 goes on to explain the fact that God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We're all here today, just as God wanted us to be. We are here to enable God's church to function well, just as God planned. As we all fulfill our roles and use the gifts God has given us for the common good. If my hand no longer wants to be part of Bruce, how in the world would I pick up a cup of tea or hold a pen or play bass? If my eyes decide to leave, how will my hands know where something is to pick it up? We all need each other. We can't function well as a church if we live distant and disconnected from each other. God has not made us all the same. We're all different, every one of us. Otherwise, how could we function as a body with different parts working together? In fact, I think as God collects different people together, we're more effectively, and we're all playing our part, we're more able to reach different people. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We all need each other. We all need each other. I know we all get on each other's nerves sometimes. I'm sure I get on your nerves. We all need each other. It's part of living in community. Renee and I were once in a home group with a young man named Doug, who I might have mentioned before. Doug worked as a manager for Woolworths. He played the drums in church. You would have liked him. And the joy of being in a regular home group during the week is having more times together as the church at someone's house. When Doug was diagnosed with cancer, a tumour the size of a tennis ball in his left shoulder, the doctors found it necessary to amputate his left arm and shoulder. And for Doug, that made life a lot more difficult. Once you remove certain parts of the body, even simple tasks get harder. Now, learning to tie his shoelaces again was something we would talk about. To do everything with one arm, trying to dress yourself, he would talk to us about how difficult that was now in the mornings. When Doug passed away, his best friend Angela said, Doug has gone to get his arm back. I love that. Church is a lot like that. When we're not here, when we don't play our part, it's like having an arm missing. or only having one kidney. It makes being the church that much more difficult. But working as the whole body, using the gifts God has given us, and it's a different story. A local church loving and serving each other, not just on Sundays but every day, is the best witness to the truth of the gospel that Jesus has given us. In John's gospel, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." As one author writes, to finish up, your church needs you and you need your church. The membership of every local church is no accident. It is by divine design. There is no one who is a spare part, a third foot, or a second nose. There is no one who is not necessary or who doesn't need the rest of their church, and that includes you, which is really exciting. God has chosen to include and to use you. You can make a real, lasting, eternally significant difference by being part of your church. Your church is vital to you, and you are vital to your church. And stay tuned as we flesh out more of what it looks like for the church to be missional in the coming weeks. Not through events, but through doing life together. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your plan to put us together. You are gathering people even now from all the corners of the globe to belong to your kingdom. You are building your church, and we pray that you would continue to build it here. But how do you build your church? As we love each other, as we serve each other, as we meet together, and as we show and demonstrate this love that we have for each other to the wider world. Thank you for the opportunity we had to do that yesterday, dear Lord, with a large group of people who were astonished by the love of your church. We thank you for Nathan and Katrina. We thank you, pray that you would continue to work in their lives and their hearts, that they would follow you wholeheartedly. We thank you for everyone pulling together as a church to show that united love. We pray that you would give us more opportunities. Help us to pray each day, dear Father, for opportunities that we might love and serve you by loving and serving others. Help us to love our church. In your holy name, amen.